SAA. It's seeking investors, and you would know that the deal with Takatso fell apart, and so SAA is now out there and saying who is willing to invest. And the transaction with Takatso would have resulted in a 3 billion cash injection for the same airline. SAA was in business rescue, as you would remember, and suffered for years due to mismanagement and corruption. Will it ever take off brilliantly like it used to? I know that it's obviously in business and trying to do well, but some roots have been curbed as the chairperson of the interim board has decided, supposedly with the board, to put a halt on some roots due to the financial issues. But he's here to speak for himself, and he joins us right now, Mr. Derek Hanekom, chairperson of the SAEA interim board. Mr. Hanekom, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Welcome to 702.
Morning, Tavo. Thank you.
Thank you. Have you had any takers? Any leads thus far?
that's shooting straight into it.
Without messing around, yes.
Absolutely. No, I think you said, will SAA ever take off brilliantly? Well, I don't know about the brilliantly part of it, but it has taken off. It is taking off, and it is moving steadily ahead. And I think that's more what we want. We want it to not sort of make some kind of spectacular but false start. We want a solid start, and every step of the way we want to make sure is sustainable and is not going to depend on taxpayers' money to bail it out and is not going to be plagued by corruption. So we want to put SAA, and are steadily doing it, on a very stable footing and a sustainable footing. And it's not so much about chasing after money at this point. It's rather managing the airline properly, knowing that if we are able to get some capital investment, that we will be able to do more than without it, obviously. But also to know, to be quite sure, that even failing to get an investor, the airline will continue operating, and will grow, albeit at a slower rate than if some investment were to come in.
Sure, and we do know that whilst corporate governance is very important, the actual cash injection is equally significant to get some operations going. Right now, how much do you need, and what percentage are you willing to part with?
Okay, so firstly, I should just say that the investment part of it is largely going to be driven by the ministry and the department.
Sure.
So because they are at this stage the 100% shareholder, and it's their choice as to whether they want to relinquish some shares, which they've indicated they do. They want an investor, but they no longer are looking for a majority investor. And that's, I'm just saying what this is what the shareholder's position
yes.
is, and we support that. We support that, but there's no amount that we want to attach to it at this stage. We had budgeted, because once you start chasing an amount, all of your plans become dependent on that amount. We had that, with the Takatso promise of 3 billion rand coming in over a three-year period. We budgeted early in 2023. There was a corporate plan with a budget. And the corporate plan, although, albeit tentatively, we made it very clear in that corporate plan, SAA made it very clear that we're at the disadvantage of not knowing what the plans of the share equity partner is, what the Takatso plans are. Then we went into 2024, we prepared another budget, and we still assumed the 3 billion rand. And so we don't want to get into that situation again. So what we have at the moment is an adjusted budget, adjusted business plan that will still continue on a growth path,
yeah.
Knowing that, and we'll still continue with our plans, but the plans being delayed, and the plans being, firstly, Sao Paulo continues that we've done. Sao Paulo
yeah.
from Cape Town and from Johannesburg. Perth is starting to operate next week. That continues.
Yeah.
But the further plans beyond that Tabu, that is Frankfurt, London, New York, those plans are postponed at this stage
yeah.
by two years. So we'll continue with the only international flights that we'll continue with for the next 2 years will be Sao Paulo and Perth. And then we will concentrate on the regional destinations on the African continent. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I was just allowing to move on. I didn't want to interrupt you there. But I mean, coming back to the issue, I mean, to use a very twisted and a very wrong metaphor, where is the ship? Where is this ship leaking? Where are the leaks exactly? Where are the red flags where you realize that we need to fix this in order for us not to repeat the mistakes of the past? And Mr. Hanekom, I'm asking this deliberately, and this is perhaps a very elementary question to you and those who've been in this space, but an ordinary South African who just wants to fly and use SAA would really want to know that thus far, which holes have you been able to plug and which ones are outstanding? You did mention that the money issue, you don't want to touch on it as such and you don't want to make it the main priority, but where are the holes thus far?
Okay, well, Thabo, I actually like your metaphor, although this is not a leaking ship, this is an aircraft, and when an aircraft has a leak, the consequences are very severe.
Of course, of course.
But the leaking ship, I mean, let's just be frank. I mean, the ship was leaked and, you know, and drained in over a period of mismanagement and a period of intensified corruption. And those responsible will have to face the music, and they are being investigated. And they will appear in front of the courts sooner or later. Some of the cases are with the NPA as we speak. Other cases are still being investigated by the SIU. So it was badly damaged. It was in dry dock when it went into state rescue, into business rescue, and then of course COVID came as well. So, and then in September 2021, which is like almost 3 years ago, it came out of business rescue and there was a restart. At this stage, there is no leak. It's just a much smaller airline than it was before. But an airline with a very committed staff, very committed management, who are determined to get this airline back to where it was before, or rather to reestablish its good reputation. It's an airline with, at the moment, with 8 aircraft, but by the end of... with 13 aircraft, but 8 additional aircraft are going to be purchased in the next 12 months. So we will have, within a year, we will have 21 aircraft operating. So, and it's an airline with excellent pilots, some of the best in the world, with a fantastic reputation, wonderful cabin crew, and we get so many complimentary comments about the cabin crew. So it's a very experienced airline, well poised to continue with the international flights, because that's where we have comparative advantage. Not so much on the domestic market, because the domestic market has changed fundamentally.
Yeah.
And changed largely because of SAA getting out of the picture. And so a new competitor is coming in, and that's fine, that's good. But where we have a serious advantage is on the intercontinental flights, the long-haul flights, and the African flights, where we have the necessary aircraft and we have the required experience.
And that would be cold comfort for over 4,000 employees who were retrenched. We'd remember this in 2020 when SAA was undergoing a restructuring exercise, and many of those people went on to lose their families, their family homes, and their livelihood just went the other way around. And I'm mentioning that deliberately, Derek Hanekom, simply because at times we, especially behind the microphone, are very happy to talk about the figures without putting faces on them. But it's people's lives that are at stake when that happens. And it would be absolutely oblivious of myself and very wrong not to attach the faces to the numbers that we are speaking about. Because this is not just about SAA. It's also about the people who make it, or who made it what it was. Where are we? we as far as that is concerned? And I guess as it brings us back to the issue of money and job creation, because it appears as though that the shareholder is very much infatuated with having a majority shareholding without necessarily looking at other demands of a very demanding industry of the airlines.
Yeah, indeed, it's a very competitive industry. But just on the points that you make, it being cold comfort to those who lost their jobs, I hope those people who were responsible for the collapse of the airline and ultimately for those job losses are listening to you, and I hope that they, you know, feel appropriately guilty. But it seems like corrupt people are only interested in their own pockets, I'm afraid to say. And having said that, just to go back in history a little bit, and going back to when the airline went into business rescue, and then when a share equity partner was found. At the time when the share equity partner was found, I mean, there was some criticism on the deal, a lot of misunderstanding. But one has to say, had there not been a share equity partner that was available at the time, the airline would have gone into liquidation, and then all the jobs would have been lost. So many jobs were retained. Currently, we have more than 2,000 people employed. And, of course, many of the people who took voluntary retrenchment packages got jobs elsewhere, including pilots. Many of them are also coming back to SAA as we grow and expand. So, yes, of course, jobs are extremely important. We can only re-employ people who lost their jobs or other people if we succeed in getting this airline to grow, short of having another sort of a unsustainable subsidy from Treasury. And we're very, very clear in our budget for the next 3-5 years, we depend on no grant from Treasury, no state subsidy. I think there is a case in most airlines in the world are subsidized by the state to some extent, and I think there's a case for it, but not a reckless case. In other words, you can go on a route, you can embark on a route, and you can see benefits other than the immediate profitability of the route. I give Mumbai for an example. You do the Mumbai flight, it may not be immediately profitable, but the numbers of tourists that the Mumbai route will bring to South Africa, the amount of trade that will bring to South Africa, there's a case for some kind of state subsidy. But having said all of that, we don't depend on a state subsidy at all. Mm-hmm. We want to grow, and in growing, more jobs will be created, and the current staff will, you know, will enjoy the benefits of that growth.
Yeah.
Just lastly, I mean, not lastly for as long as you want to talk, but what I am saying is that we will grow with or without a capital injection. We will try. Obviously, we'll try to get either loan finance or an investor coming in with a minority share, because the shareholders make it very clear that that would be the scenario. But that would just enable us to grow more rapidly, to do the things that we want to do and plan to do them earlier rather than later.
Sure. Let's take a quick break, Derek Anacom, and I'll come back to you, because some of the things that I would like to delve into would include how notorious SAA was with splashing money on executive salaries whilst their staff was not enjoying the same incentives, and then the airline was not doing well. But it's 19 minutes after 10 o'clock, and you're on 702. My guest, Derek Anacom, chairperson of SAA Interim Board.
This is 702.
702.
23 minutes after 10 o'clock, Derek Anacom, chairperson of the SAA Interim Board, is my guest, and we are looking at where the SAA is at this particular point. You'd remember that the deal with Takatso fell off, but we're doing less politics, but looking at the airline itself. What's the latest? Do they have any takers? And some of your questions have been coming through. Let me just entertain them, because I've been monopolizing this discussion. Let me not be greedy. There's a question from one of our listeners who did not want to go on air, but they called through. They said, will they call back those back as they expand? Those who were retrenched, will they be allowed to come back as SAA expands? Derek Anacom?
Well, as I said, I mean, people took voluntary severance packages. As we expand, priority will be given to those who were retrenched, even pilots. There are pilots, obviously pilots are in demand, and pilots took jobs at other airlines, number of pilots. But we are employing more pilots, and as we expand, even more so. So what's happening is, as you appoint a new pilot as one example, you probably know on most aircraft you have on all aircraft really you have a pilot, a captain, and a first officer. As we expand, those first officers are being promoted in most cases to captain positions, and so many of them have been first officers for a couple of decades now. So the expansion is giving opportunity. Clearly, some of the people retrenched will obviously be considered for positions, but we can't say everyone retrenched is going to get positions, because as you correctly say, some of the people retrenched are people you don't necessarily want. Some you do.
011-883-0702. Ray, welcome. You're calling from Eden Vale.
Hi. Morning to you.
Morning, Ray. Welcome.
Hi, thank you, man. So one question, Mr. Hunnicott, why is it going to be any different this time? Maybe I'm oversimplifying it. It's just a quick one-word answer. What will be different this time?
Sorry, did I get you right? What is different this time?
Yeah, what is going to be different this time? That's what you're saying, Ray.
Exactly.
Sure.
Maybe I'm simplifying the question. What one thing, if it is one thing, is different to SAA now than what was there before?
Fair question. Derek?
A very fair question, because what you had was an airline that was a very significant airline flying to many parts of the world and dominating the domestic market for that matter, but also an airline that over many years cost the taxpayer a lot of money to sustain. And so, it was to some extent an artificial success. What is different now is that we are quite clear that the airline as it grows will not be taking money from the taxpayer. It has to be competitive in a competitive market. It has to be properly run in order to be competitive, but it won't be a drain on the taxpayer. If at any point the fiscus or the treasury feels that it is warranted to subsidize a particular route, there would have to be a very, very strong case for it. But at this stage, there's not even a hint of any money coming from the fiscus. So that makes it quite different. It is growing based on its own achievements, based on its own plan, and there's a determination to make this a success story without assistance from the Treasury.
Sure.
And there's a determination that, we will never again allow the kind of corruption to seep in that we had before.
Derek, we have a very strong appetite on this issue. So let me just take two text messages, and then I'll go to the voice notes. So I'm going to ask you just to note these two, and then I'm going to ask you to respond to them. The first one comes from Tembile. It says, please ask if they'd consider selling shares as BEE initiative to the public, stipulating minimum spend per person. That comes from Tembile. Let's deal with that quickly, please. We have about 3 minutes, so allow me to deal with all four of these questions. If you'd respond very speedily on those, please, Derek.
Okay. So on the issue of considering, shares to the public and shares to be, that will promote black economic empowerment. I mean, that is up to the shareholder. At this stage, we're not talking about it going public. It's a state-owned company. And the intention is to keep it as a state-owned company, albeit with a minority shareholder that will bring in some investment. But,
sure.
Plans beyond that, I can't really talk about.
What happened to the loan granted by SA Development Bank of $3 billion? This comes from Viren.
I wish I could answer that question. I have no idea what happened. I don't know about a loan that certainly precedes my period. I have no information about a $3 billion DBSA loan.
0727021702.
Hi, good day, Tabo. Thabo, yes, I understand Mr. Heinacom is talking about the looting at the SAA, but doesn't he think that also AXA should have played a role by limiting the number of international airlines? Because with these international airlines, it means that people don't prefer SAA. They rather prefer these international airlines, even the ministers. Thanks, David.
Derek?
Yeah, well, I think the fact of the matter is that SAA doesn't cover all routes, so you have little choice if you're flying abroad. We're talking about international airlines flying abroad. The fact that ministers use airlines other than SAA for domestic flights, well, we would like to change that, but we should also say that we have limited domestic routes now as well, so it depends on the timing. Ministers that I know certainly choose to fly SAA, not only as a patriotic thing to do, but because they like flying SAA, and many others who are not ministers, they enjoy flying SAA. The service is really tremendous, and it's an airline with a very, very good reputation that offers, you know, good service during the flight and a good flight experience. But we are choosing routes at the moment that other airlines are not doing. For example, there is no other Sao Paulo Cape Town direct flight or Johannesburg Sao Paulo. There's no other direct flight to Perth. Those flights, the Sao Paulo flight is doing extremely well, and the Perth bookings, forward bookings for the Perth route are looking extremely good.
Derek Heinacom, thanks for your time. I wish we had more of it, and we'll definitely revisit this discussion again. Thanks for making time, and thanks for your insights.
Thanks so much, Darby.
Derek Heinacom, chairperson of SAA Interim Board.